Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
We're also brought to you by Huntstock Midwest, an exciting new hunting festival coming to Beaver Dam, Wisconsin this summer. It'll be at Dodge County Fairgrounds July 17th through the 19th. Huntstock feels less like a trade show, more like a deer camp. Huntstockevents.com is their website. And by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, Green Bay, and Waupaca. They are the highest rated hearing health care clinic in Wisconsin, and their website is profhearingcare.com. I'm Dan Small. Today we'll get a Lake Michigan fishing report, talk Lake Superior sailing, and wrap up our conversation about Russian fishermen with author Mike Pahanek. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupie and Abraham, named best personal injury law firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupie and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupie and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupie.com. And all 11 offices of Hupie and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Jeff Kelm is in Oshkosh this weekend. He's running a Masters Walleye Circuit tournament on Lake Winnebago. And then he's back on Winnebago next weekend for the Mercury National Walleye Tournament. And that's part of Fond du Lac's Walleye Weekend. And this is free fun weekend in Wisconsin. There's no entry fee at state parks and trails and no license required to fish most waters of the state. You can find events on the DNR website under the keywords events calendar and free fishing weekend. Our giveaway this week is a 3-day pass to Huntstock Midwest. It's an $80 value and we'll have one winner each week. To enter the drawing, call 414-297-7554 or email dsoradio@gmail.com. Leave your name and number and mention the Huntstock giveaway. The Range of Richfield is your ultimate shooting experience. They're located on Helson Drive, just north of the Richfield Cabela's store, and that's where Highways 41 and 45 divide heading north. And you can find them on the web at therangewi.com. Range of Richfield President Jim Bobbiash couldn't make it this week, but he wanted me to let you know what's going on at the range this month. Their Wisconsin Concealed Carry License class is coming up a week from Sunday on June 14th. It runs from noon to 4 p.m., and you can register online or by calling the range. This is a non-shooting class that fulfills the training requirement for a Wisconsin Concealed Carry License, which, by the way, allows you to carry a concealed weapon in 30 states. You'll get instruction in firearm safety, basic self-defense principles, conflict avoidance, and an explanation of where you may and may not carry a concealed weapon. Class size is limited to 30 people, so don't delay if you're interested. And if you can't make the June 14th class, there's another one next month on July 19th. The Summer Bullseye Slow Fire Pistol League is up and running now through August. Shoot any time the range is open, Tuesday through Friday. New shooters are welcome. You'll shoot a total of 12 times over the summer, using either a .22 or centerfire pistol. Each time, you'll shoot 10 shots at each of three targets for a total possible score of 300. And you can shoot rimfire or centerfire divisions and one-handed or two-handed class. Private lessons are also available for beginner, intermediate, and advanced shooters, with special prices for couples. You can find details on the range website. Daily specials this month include free targets every Tuesday, $10 an hour range rentals on Wednesdays, full auto and rapid fire plus free gun rentals every Thursday, and Second Shooter shoots free on Saturday, so bring a friend or a family member and one of you shoots free. And on Sunday, you can take an extra 5% off on safes. And Dad's shoot for free on Sunday, June 21st. That's Father's Day, of course. Gunsmith Eli Johns of Full Send Gunsmithing is on location at the range, and he can handle all of your maintenance, repair, and custom gunworking needs. See Eli at the range or visit his Facebook page, Full Send Gunsmithing. The Range of Richfield offers lots of ways to enjoy shooting, and if you just want to talk about guns or if you have questions, give them a call or stop in any time. They're open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, 10 to 5 on Friday, and 11 to 4 on Saturday and Sunday. TheRangeWI.com. Coming up, we wrap up our conversation about fishing in Russia with writer Mike Bahanek. Charter Captain Dumper Dan Welch reports on Lake Michigan fishing action off Sheboygan, and Sailboat Captain John Small launches the sailing season on Lake Superior. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Your land is your legacy, but keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit familyforestcarbon.org and enroll today.
Your hunt starts with healthy wetlands and the habitats that support them. From the Alaskan wilderness to the Atlantic Flyway, across America's Great Plains and down the Mississippi Delta, Ducks Unlimited has protected and restored habitat for nearly 90 years. We need your help to reach our next million-acre milestone and ensure waterfowl for generations to come. Whether you're selling tickets, securing donations, or finding that next sponsor, there's a role for everyone. Join today at ducks.org/volunteer. Ducks Unlimited. Conservation for a continent.
If you want to catch a big walleye, go where the big walleyes are. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world, with a variety of resorts and lodging facilities offering full-service fishing. Lake of the Woods is also home to sturgeon, sauger, perch, trophy pike, muskie, smallmouth bass, burbot, and more. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods today. Go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
The Woodstock for Hunters Hunt Stock is coming to Wisconsin to the Dodge County Fairgrounds in Beaver Dam, July 17th through the 19th. Hunt Stock is bringing energy, excitement, and attendee experience back to sportsman shows. Legendary seminar lineups and meet and greets from the hunting public. Lanny Benoit, Dan Infall, Barry Wenzel, John Eberhardt, Billy Moles, Jared Scheffler, and Dan Small. $40,000 in giveaways, including bows, guns, optics, hunting trips, stands, saddles, and more. You won't find window salesmen here, just hunting exhibitors like Vortex, Sig Sauer, and Tacticam, to name a few. Bring your bows for the 3D archery range and novelty shoots, and unwind with live music and after parties, and campsites available right there. Plan ahead and get your tickets online at huntstockevents.com. Use code radio at checkout to save 10%. Huntstock feels less like a trade show, more like a deer camp.
There are lakes across Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and beyond that are loaded with fish. And nobody's talking about them. Onyx Fish helps you find them. Search by species, filter for big walleye, trophy panfish, or eater crappies. Check satellite imagery, depth maps, and public access points, all before you leave the house. And now, Onyx Fish is available on Android for the first time. iPhone, Android, doesn't matter. Just download it and start planning. 7-day free trial, then just $35 a year. Onyx Fish. Find new lakes, get there with confidence.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. It's time for another Lake Michigan report with Captain Dumper Dan Welch. He is proprietor of Dumper Dan's Sport Fishing Charters, Condos, and Riverfront Store on South Pier Drive in Sheboygan. You can find him on the web at dumperdan.com, and you'll find updates and videos and photos and a musical version of this report on his Facebook page, which is Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters. And this week's report is also brought to you by 902 on the Avenue. It's a bar and grill at 902 Indiana Avenue in Sheboygan and on Facebook at 902 on the Avenue. Well, Captain Dumper Dan Welch, welcome back and thanks for joining us again.
Oh, you betcha, Dan. Great to be back with you.
Well, you've been crazy busy now with the arrival of spring, and I understand the cohos are showing up now.
Absolutely. We have a lot to talk about, and that's why we're going to cover everything here in this report. A lot of things have changed in Sheboygan, including, I think, summer did show up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been nice. It's been sunny. The lake's been calm for the most part this last week. Air temperature Sheboygan, depending on where you're at, inland 80, along the lake about 70. And water temperature on Lake Michigan on the surface went from 46 degrees right now up to about 51 to 52 degrees. So everything's warming up. That calmness and the sunshine help a lot with warming the water up. And that gets the fish going even more because it was pretty cold here the spring season. But now it's more summer-like. And you mentioned cohos, Dan. Yes, they are here in Sheboygan. They arrived about a week ago, which is about 2 weeks late, to be honest with you. But they're here. We're catching them straight out of town and south of town. All different schools are kind of scattered a little bit more than last year. Last year they were all in one area and a bigger schools, but that's okay. I mean, we're catching them in 35 feet of water. We got some schools out in 70 south of town, 90 to 100, and then that 150 to 160 foot range. So a lot of different areas just keep trolling till you get in a school of cohos. And when you do, you'll get 2, 3, 4 on at one time.
Yeah, I know, because I fish cohos with you, and I think the most memorable one is, I think we had 4 in the net at one time with a father and son, or actually 2 fathers and sons a number of years ago for
a special party.
Yeah. What are you catching them on?
We're running basically coho tackle right now, so we're not targeting any other species as much because the cohos are here, and they're not here for the whole summer, so we enjoy catching them. The fast action, good to eat. They're averaging about 4 to 5 pounds a piece. They're really chunky this year. They got a lot of bait in them, shad and alewife. But we're catching them on small red dodgers, green fly. Excellent, excellent setup. Also chartreuse dodgers with red dots on them with green fly. That's one of my favorites, by the way. Coho setups, basically. We run them on slide divers, 25 to 50 feet down on the diver poles. We run the riggers about the same depth, 25 to 50 down on the downriggers. And then we put a spread to each side of 1, 2, and 3 color of lead core off the planer boards, which get the baits down about 5 to 10, 15 feet off the planer boards with the lead core setups with a monofilament leader past the lead core of about 30 feet with dodger fly combinations on them. So we have that scattered throughout our spread as we troll a little bit slower, about 2.0 to 2.2 mile an hour seems to be better, especially with the cooler water. So that's what we're using. We have pictures of it on our Facebook page. We'll have another picture of some of the tackle I want to show these anglers on this report we'll do on Facebook, as you mentioned, so they can kind of see what the tackle looks like that I'm mentioning.
Now, for people who aren't familiar with the tackle, flasher fly, what is the flasher, what does it represent, and what does the fly represent?
What I always call a flasher is plastic. A dodger is metal, and we are running both. There's a metal Lure Jensen double-aught dodger, and then the flashers are plastic. Most of them are spin doctor plastic flashers. They spin in the water, and you run the fly. It varies, but usually 18 to 21 inches behind of that flasher is the fly. So you can picture this of the dodger rotating, spinning as you're trolling at 2 miles an hour, like I mentioned. What that fly does behind it, it darts behind that flasher. So the coho sees that flash of the dodger or flasher and comes up and hits the fly behind it, which is basically bait fish. It represents, it also represents like a fly hatch. So it's a fly. So it looks like a fly, and they might come up and think it's a fly or a shad or an alewife, but they see the spinning dodger fly combination and they go after the fly that's right behind that dodger. It looks really cool in the water. You can watch it if you put your rod tip in the water and see how it works, and it's really neat looking, and they attack that boy, and when they hit, they hit hard.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're fun to catch. Have you got openings now for June?
I do. This last couple days, I actually had 8 boats out, Dan. as I mentioned before, you know, I'm booking other boats. I always do. I always find a way to get people on the water, even when the dumper dan boats are full. I have a great variety of captains here. Then, like I said, we had 8 boats out the other day. You can see the pictures. We had a bus group come in of people, and you can see the pictures on our Facebook page right now. But we do have openings. Dates are filling fast. The phone rings a lot here, 920-377-1147. You'll talk to me straight up, Dumper Dan. We can do lodging and fishing. We got condos with our walking distance to our boats, our store, our grill on our patio deck, and all the restaurants, pubs, and grills in the area. Again, 920-377-1147. Give me a call. I'll get you on the water.
All right. And speaking of pubs and grills, 902 on the Avenue is your second sponsor this week. They're just up the road from you, right?
Yeah, see, I actually point them right out my window or my patio deck across the 8th Street Bridge, and you can see 902 from my place. A lot of people in the condos just walk there. It's about a block walk, easy. Otherwise, cross the 8th Street with your vehicle and park right at 902 on the Avenue on the corner. Great little pub and grill. Wendy owns it. She does a great, great job. She's been around a long time. A lot of people know her. They got an awesome menu. They're really particular with their food, very delicious. They also have the old Hofbräu steak sandwich, which is very popular in our town of Sheboygan. Highly recommend that. It's one of the best steak sandwiches you'll ever have. Good bar and grill, good food, good atmosphere, and walking distance to our place.
All right. Well, Dan, we're going to let you go. I know you're busy, and I hope the fishing continues to be strong. And we're going to get Ozzie over there sometime soon, I think, to do some fishing with you and get some more video, because he shot some stuff last year that we are using in these reports, and it's working out really well, I think.
Yeah, it is. And I'll definitely get Ozzie out, and probably in my Robalo or one of my charter boats. We'll get him out. Hopefully we can get you over here again, too, and do a little bit of fishing and some picture taking and videos and whatnot if you got time to come this way. But summer's here. Get on out here, Lake Michigan, Port of Sheboygan. Cohos are biting. Next will be kings and rainbows. We are catching a few of them on our coho sets, but we'll start switching over to them and lake trout. So month of June is good variety right after this coho bite. Get out here. And I always say the coho salmon is the filet mignon of Lake Michigan fish. I mean, it is bright red meat, and you cook it medium rare, and it melts in your mouth. So get on out here, catch this fast-action coho salmon, put them on a grill, and enjoy them.
Yep, my favorite fish on Lake Michigan for sure. All right, Dan, we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
You got her. I'll be here. Thank you, Dan.
You're quite welcome. Dumper Dan Welch with the Lake Michigan Fishing Report. His charter business is Dumper Dan's Sport Fishing Charters. You can find him on the web at dumperdan.com. He's got condos and a riverfront store there as well. And he's got a Facebook page where you will find this report enhanced with some nifty AI music and some videos that Ozzie shot last year with Dan. All kinds of good stuff on his Facebook page, Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters. And don't forget 902 on the Avenue, second sponsor this week, just a short walk up from Dumper Dan's, and you can have lunch or dinner there after you're fishing. I'm Dan Small, more Outdoors Radio right after this.
You're listening to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Folks, I've been talking with author Mike Pahanek. He's an award-winning outdoor writer from Poplar Grove, Illinois. That's just a few miles south of the Wisconsin border, and you know that he's been fishing in Wisconsin many times. He's fished all over the world, and his latest book is called River at Risk, A Fisherman's View of Life Anew in Post-Soviet Russia. Mike, this has become a marathon here, but I'm having a great time talking with you about your book. I want to say this. I don't know that I said that to you before, but your writing is fun to read. I was just amazed at your attention to detail. You talk about, for instance, the houses along the road to the airport on your way back from the tournament. You talk about the corrugated metal roofs in detail. You talk about the colored picket fences that most people wouldn't pay attention to. and your style, as a former teacher of writing myself, I call it lyrical, literate, contemplative, and yet conversational. We hear you thinking as you write. In fact, there's a fair amount of repetition in the details. You come back to themes that you see as important, like the description of the boats, or the lures, or Merritt's stone wall that keeps the river from dragging his camp into the depths.
Yeah, a lot of these details were emblematic of some aspect of either the Russia from before or the current Russia. The houses, for example, they struck me as kind of stuck in the 1930s, you know, and they were very much cookie cutter, gray plank homes, and the color brought out by the shutters. Every house had a fresh coat of paint, and it was striking. But along the way, in evidence of the new Russia, you'd see a tear down and a new house going up. Not a lot, but there were enough of it to demonstrate a striking contrast. I also touched upon the homes in the city when I got to Moscow as well.
Yeah.
That was interesting too. And we saw those projects that had been developed by Khrushchev, just a huge monolithic apartment buildings, one after another.
Back to fishing. What can anglers here in the States learn from Russian anglers, particularly walleye anglers? What can we learn from your experience there?
Well, there's that universal truth that preparation and attention to detail are always going to pay off. You know, a lot of fishing success takes place before the fish are caught. Are you prepared for success? And Chulinov and Kirov were really proof of that premise there. You know, there's been a lot of developments since then, Dan, that were very interesting. And these fishermen, as I mentioned, were hungry for fishing knowledge. They followed bass fishing techniques. Why? I mean, there's no bass in Russia, but because they might be an adaptable technique. So they were very much in tune with that. The electronics, by the way, most of the boats did have electronics at the time, but they weren't particularly advanced. I know since then they've improved with the electronics. So we know they've advanced in terms of the technology and on the marine side of the game as well. But a lot of these Xander were caught in general in Europe and in Russia in particular with what they called a Droshkovich rig. This I did not witness because the Droshkovich rig was a live bait rig.
Uh-huh.
But that had slowly infiltrated Russia over the years. And I learned this from Patrick Sabeel, and I need to emphasize Patrick's importance in this discussion. Later, Xander trophies were won with an adaptation of a drop shot rig, a heavy drop shot rig.
Uh-huh.
One gentleman who came in from Germany, who had his own soft plastic line, cleaned up in the event. And this is after the minimum length had gone from the 65 centimeters to 80 centimeters. And he caught 3 to 4 times the catch of anyone else in the field during this tournament.
Wow.
It just popped everybody's eyeballs when they saw what this guy was bringing in. So, you know, the Russians have advanced like everyone else and, again, hungry for information, for better tackle. And it's manifested itself in success for a growing number of Russian anglers. How much the impact of the current economy and the war is having, I'm in not a position to answer right now.
Have you been back to Russia since then?
I have not. I've tried to get what I could from Patrick. He had a couple trips, but he's not able to get there any longer either.
So we can't go to Uzbek, the resort you fished.
As far as I know, I don't know that you can right now, but let's hope that peace is restored and relations are restored. It was a sad departure for me. It developed some friendships, and it was a powerful experience in 2022 when the war broke out. It was very disheartening. It was disheartening when I heard the Crimea. You know, it was clear what was happening with Putin. The Cold War chill, you know, had returned to that region, to the world. So, you know, we hope that that thaw will take place soon.
Yeah. A good friend of mine, you quote him several times in the book, Denny Goering, had a business of taking anglers and hunters to Russia. Denny and I used to room together at outdoor writers conferences, and I remember him telling me way back in the late 80s, hey, I got this chance for, he was writing for Field and Stream, to go to Russia, and I'm going to do it. And then after that, he developed this business and wrote the book.
Land of the Bear.
Land of the Bear, yeah. And he's since sold that business to Jay Link, who is still running it, I think. I'm not sure what the status is right now.
Okay.
Yeah, he hit the heyday there of taking anglers and hunters to Russia when nobody was doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. He got in actually before the fall of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
Gorbachev, you know, with the perestroika and glasnost initiatives, he had relaxed restrictions. He had opened entrepreneurialism to the Russian economy, and some tackle businesses emerged. Then he was able to bring tourist dollars to Russia with the bear hunting, a big game hunting, a little bit of fishing. He said, you know, the hunting dominated the trips, but he would always bring along some tackle and sneak in some fishing when he could. That was a tremendous opportunity for him, and he took advantage of it.
He certainly did, and he still talks about it. I would, for sure.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I can't let you go, Mike, without talking about the cover photo of your book. There's a gentleman there holding a giant zander. That fish weighed, what, pushing 15, 16 pounds, something?
17,
like
17 pounds, yeah. It was an amazing fish. This was late in the trip. We're on the water, and of course there had been some good zander. All the fish that were brought in were good fish, and we had seen them up to 13 pounds. But all of a sudden we get a call from a fella not far downstream at all. And this Anton, who was our interpreter and during the event, he says, it's Zora. He's got a big zander. So we rush over there, and it is a tremendous fish. And he's excited. He's exhausted at the time, but Anton's trying to get photos for his Ribolov Elite, his magazine, and I'm trying to get photos. We're shooting away, and Patrick's excited. He starts to straddle the gunwale there with this big fish. And by the time I'm thinking, oh, this fish is going to go overboard. He's going to fall in. But we shot away, and midway through the photo shoot, Patrick goes, he says, look at his cap.
Yeah.
There he is, this big, happy Russian with the big fish. He's wearing an FBI cap. And I said, boy, that is emblematic of the thaw. Again, this is 2010, you know, the thaw and those Cold War relations. The end of the Soviet hold on the Russian people, you know, it was his freedom, you know, to wear that cap and to laugh about it, you know, about those Cold War days. So sorry that the global situation has, again, transformed as it has, but it was a pleasant time and a warming experience.
And Zora looks like any American angler with a trophy fish. You know, fishing is a universal language. You talk about that in the book. You didn't speak any Russian. Really?
Yeah. It was what brings you together. The smile itself. I talk a little bit in the book about the Russian smile.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of they're known for their dour disposition. But on the water, there were different people. Every day we were on the water, even during the tournament, there would be a pause. It wasn't anything that was ever planned, but a boat downstream would come and they'd pull out some cognac and some pierogies and some snacks, and you'd break and you'd have a little toast on the river, talk about the fishing. And then after a few minutes, 5-10 minutes, everybody'd break, go back to serious fishing. But it was a surprising experience. I, you know, nobody ever told me that's a Russian tradition, but it happened every day and most of the time twice a day while we were in Russia.
One of the things you said very early in the book was perhaps within the story that you're telling here, we can find greater appreciation for our own freedoms and resources.
Fishing for the Russians was really emblematic of the change that they had experienced. That share of liberty that was granted to them, not only in terms of restrictions and regulations, but also from the standpoint of capability. They had the freedom for self-improvement, to pursue their own activities and way of life. And it manifested itself in fishing. You could see it right there. You know, the whole idea of trolling was almost unconscionable during the Soviet era. You know, who had money to, you know, to have a boat and burn gasoline and chasing a fish. It was a sign of we had arrived. You know, we are 21st century fishermen now. Prior to that, their capabilities, you know, the restrictions on the people and the economy had not permitted the people to live the life they clearly wanted. It's in their blood. They love fishing, and the pride that they took in their arrival was very striking. you know, on multiple levels. We need to appreciate the freedoms and, you know, the life we have here these days.
You certainly don't take it for granted once you've been over in a place like Russia. Mike, this has been a fascinating discussion, a conversation over several weeks. I thoroughly enjoyed the book. I rarely read a book that I'm going to be talking about from cover to cover, but I did this time, and I found it totally fascinating, as I mentioned. I love your style. I like the topic, and the message is a good one. Appreciate what you've got, and fishing is a universal language.
Thank you so much, Dan. Yeah. Thanks for reading it.
Thanks for writing it. So how can people get a copy?
You can get it for Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and in select bookstores, 15 to start out. And we hope that it blossoms to a lot more beyond that.
And your website, of course, people can order it there as well, right?
Yes, you have access to that through MikeMahanick.com as well.
Okay. Well, Mike, thanks so much. And I look forward to your next book.
Hey, thanks, Dan. Sure enjoyed talking about it.
I certainly have, too. Folks, Mike Mahanick is an award-winning author and outdoor writer, and he has written a new book we've been talking about here at great length for the last few weeks, River at Risk, A Fisherman's View of Life Anew in Post-Soviet Russia. You can learn more on his website, MikePahanick.com, and he spells his last name, P-E-H-A-N-I-C-H, MikePahanick.com. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this. That reminds me of the Christmas Eve soccer game during, was it World War I? And the English troops raised the white flags and played soccer, and went back to the trenches and shot each other the next day.
Amazing.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkalines and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
If you want to catch a big walleye, go where the big walleyes are. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world. With a variety of resorts and lodging facilities offering full service fishing. Lake of the Woods is also home to sturgeon, sauger, perch, trophy pike, muskie, smallmouth bass, burbot, and more. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods today. Go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining me now from Bayfield, Wisconsin, is my son, Jonathan Small, who's also our Northwoods correspondent, and a busy guy up there. John, welcome back, and thanks for joining us again.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So you have been sailing. The sailing season is underway, and you've had a couple of big events, right?
Yep. We just completed a sailing trip from Bayfield to Isle Royale and back as part of captain's training for the summer for all-hands sailing. And before that, Memorial Day weekend, I raced on a boat called Phoenix for a three-day spring series, the Apostle Island series that starts Memorial Day weekend. So it was the first series of the season, and we ended up taking seventh place out of 14 boats on a used boat with a new crew.
Okay, new crew. That means there's some learning involved.
Definitely, yeah. But we got it all together, and actually on the final day, we had a downwind start and led the fleet for a good 45 minutes before the bigger, faster boats caught up with us, and ultimately took sixth place that day, beating out much faster, even professionally crewed sailboats. So we did very well.
And how did you pull that off?
You know, a little tactics, the right wind at the right time, and, you know, some luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of skill, a lot of skill.
So how many people in your crew?
Over the 3 days, we had between six and seven people on the boat at one time, either six or seven.
Okay. And these were one-day races in each case? You'd go out and back?
Yeah. They call them mid-range. And so basically they set a course the morning of the race, depending on the wind. Usually they drop a buoy and basically dictate where you start from, around the buoy to which side of the boat, and where the finish line is, and then set up a start line and everybody goes. And then there's a handicapping based on the specifications of the boat. That kind of is an equalizer, although the bigger, faster boats usually always win, even with the handicap.
Uh-huh. Okay. Who's running these races?
The Wayzata Yacht Club out of the Twin Cities.
Oh, okay.
Wayzata, Minnesota.
Yeah. So they have them on different lakes?
Yeah, I think they do a lot of races in Minnesota, but this is the Apostle Island series. There is the spring series, and there's race week, usually the week of July 4th, a fall series, and then they do a Silver Bay Scramble, which is from Bayfield to Silver Bay and back. They do an Around the Islands race. There's a series throughout the summer that they've been doing for years.
Are you going to race in more of these?
I will race week. I won't do around the islands because I'll be on a sailing camping trip that week.
So 3 days of racing with new crew members the first day, or some new crew members. How do you coordinate who's doing what, and how do you bring everybody into the same mode, or whatever you would call it, in sailing?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of it. You know, a lot of it has to do with how well the crew functions together. If you have some negative attitudes on the boat, it can bring everyone down. On this boat, Phoenix, we have a very good captain. His name's Mark Filanowicz. He bought the boat a couple of years ago and is a very experienced racer. So he's a fun guy to be with. And we all have to understand that it's loud in the wind and people will shout, you know, so it's a team sport. We get out there early and we practice a few maneuvers just to make sure everybody's on the same page about what has to happen to tack the boat, you know, and what that looks like and who needs to do what and be where. And then after that, it's kind of chaotic. I mean, we had 14, 29 to 45 foot sailboats tacking both back and forth on sail power behind, I think, about a 200-yard start line, waiting for the starting gun. And then they all turn upwind at the same time and try not to hit each other. It's exciting.
Yeah, I have witnessed a couple of sailboat races in Milwaukee on Lake Michigan. How important is the start? You try to cross that line as close to the starting horn or gun as possible.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into that. I mean, you basically mark both ends of the line with a GPS, and you either calculate by hand in your head or using a computer, just how fast you can be going to hit the line at speed when the time goes off. It's not a gun. It's a set time. And so everybody's, you know, back and forth trying to hit the line at momentum, but not go over it as close to the starting time as possible. And then, of course, you want to be on the best wind in the best position based on the direction the wind is coming.
A lot of jockeying around.
Yeah. And sailboats don't have brakes. So, you know,
yeah,
the start line is very chaotic. It seems like, at least for the first time I did it, I was like, what is going on? You know, this is dangerous. But, you know, there are rules of the road. And if people follow the rules, then generally no one runs into each other.
Yeah. And that didn't happen this time, right?
No, no. But that is the location where most collisions happen, apparently. Yeah.
And then, more recently, you went to Isle Royale and back. Tell us about that trip.
Yeah, so this is our annual staff training trip. In previous years, we've just done the Apostle Islands and spent a couple of days on the boat. But this year, the weather was good and the wind was right. And so we took a crew of five, counting myself, from Bayfield to Isle Royale. We sailed at night because the wind was lighter. I think we left Bayfield at about 7 p.m. on Friday and motored out to the edge of the Apostle Islands and set sail. And the wind was basically coming directly at us from the northeast, from Isle Royale. So we had to beat it up wind, as they say, and, and sail as much into the wind as we can, which is roughly 45 degrees. Speaking of degrees, it was very cold. We saw a water temperature of 33.3.
Oh, boy.
And we did this with five people. So we basically set up a shift system where there were always two people on deck. I got to set up the shift, so I configured it so that basically every hour a new person would start and one would go down. And so that gave us, with five, it gave us 2 hours on deck and 3 hours below to rest. So I think I slept maybe 4 hours that first night, taking turns steering the boat. Once you have your tack set, there's not a lot to do. You just got to keep it going straight. And we found that we were overpowered. The wind was still too strong with the sails that we had. And so we ended up cracking off to Grand Marais, arrived in Grand Marais in the morning, moored the boat there, spent the day exploring the town, sleeping, and left again, I think at 7 p.m. Saturday evening, and sailed through the night. Made it to Rock of Ages the next morning, and then motored into Windigo, docked the boat, did some more relaxing hiking, jumped in the lake. It was 44 degrees.
A lot warmer.
Yeah, a lot warmer. So I did two plunges and just laid on the dock in the sun and just kind of recovered. And then, yeah, next morning we got up at 5, motored out to Rock of Ages at 6, and had a 13-hour downwind sail on the jib. I think we did maybe 4 or 5 jibes the whole way down.
Wow.
Got to Outer Island in the evening and anchored there, and then motored back and showed a couple of the new guides some of our favorite spots in the islands, and then cleaned the boat, packed up, and I was home by 4.
Wow.
Yeah. That second night, I slept 1 hour because I had my alarm set, basically set at 15 minutes before my shift starts. And in the night, we crossed into Eastern time zone, and alarm went off an hour early. I had my boots and my foul weather gear on before I popped my head up and realized something was wrong. You're not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't get much sleep that night.
Yeah. But you're ready for the season now.
Yeah, I think I'm ready for just about anything. This is hard. I mean, this is like offshore racing. We're working in shifts, just eating and sleeping when you could, and sailing in darkness. We were lucky to have just about a full moon, so it was easy to see. But we were, you know, at times navigating with the stars. We do have a digital readout of our heading and the wind angle, but staring at these digital numbers and trying to adjust the boat where there is some delay as it reacts and keep it on a course is a lot more difficult than just picking, you know, a light on the horizon, you know, a lighthouse, a radio tower, or using the stars. And so it was really cool. It was really cool to sail under moonlight in the night, not really being able to see anything else. It was something else.
Wow. Well, after those two experiences, your sailing season ought to be a piece of cake.
Right. The worst thing that can happen now is weather, in my mind. It's just heavy weather.
Okay.
I have several camping trips slated for the summer, and one of them is a week long. The last couple of years, I've stayed in the islands. Now that I've been to Grand Marais in the sailboat and gone to Isle Royale, why not take a big passage? You know, it really depends on the kids and the trip and if they're up to it. But I'm ready for it, I think, now, after this trip.
All right. Yeah. And if anyone wants to book with you and All Hands Sailing, how do they do it?
Oh, yeah. Just go on the internet, allhandssailing.org. And click on the trips button or /trips, and that'll bring you to the booking page.
Okay. And you do short trips, mid-length trips?
2 1/4 is the gateway sail. 5 1/2 is the discovery sail. And then we do all day after that and multi-day.
All right. Well, John, get some rest, and we will talk again soon.
All right. Will do. Thank you.
You bet. Jonathan Small, Captain John Small, Apostle Island sailor, with a report from Bayfield. And as he mentioned, you can book a trip with the company he works for. Allhandssailing.org is their website. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp, telling stories, and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend and on the web at cedarlakesales.com. By Crestliner Boats at crestliner.com, and by Mercury Marine at mercurymarine.com. Don't forget, Cedar Lake Sales has showrooms full of new boats and only a few 2025 models of both fishing boats and pontoons available. And these are clearance priced and ready to go. Details online at cedarlakesales.com. We're also brought to you by HuntStock, an exciting new hunting festival coming to Dodge County Fairgrounds July 17th through the 19th. HuntStock feels less like a trade show, more like a deer camp. And by Professional Hearing Care, LLC, of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, Green Bay, and now Waupaca at profhearingcare.com. Our TV show, Outdoor Wisconsin, is airing in reruns on Milwaukee PBS, and you can check the schedule for times and dates. And it may not be airing where you live, but you can always watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And my Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV special is archived on YouTube at Deer Hunt Wisconsin. And this show is always available as a podcast on LakeLink. That's at lake-link.com/radio. You can subscribe to our podcast there or download episodes going back a year or so. And the show is also available on other platforms, including outdoornews.com/podcasts. Look for us on social media at Hardwater Jeff and Dan Small Outdoors. This is Free Fun Weekend in Wisconsin. State park and trail fees are waived for all visitors, and no license is required to fish most waters of the state, although bag and size limits still apply. You can check the DNR website events calendar for fishing events and other activities this weekend. And this is also turtle nesting season, so watch for turtles crossing roads and report sightings on the DNR website. The keywords there are turtle conservation. There are some new regulations impacting ATVs and UTVs in effect as of June 1st. Now, from now on, all UTV operators and passengers are required to wear seatbelts. And as for towing, it's not legal to tow objects bearing any person on a trail or route. And when towing a person on ice, you're limited to 10 miles an hour. We're not going to worry about ice towing for a few months yet. Find details of these and other regulations in the DNR 2026 ATV UTV regulations booklet on the DNR website, keywords ATV regulations. Reports of wolves attacking livestock continue to roll in from across northern Wisconsin. You can read the latest reports on the DNR website under keywords wolf maps. Our giveaway this week is a 3-day pass to Huntstock Midwest. That's an $80 value, and we've got one winner each week. To enter the drawing, call 414-297-7554 or email dsoradio@gmail.com. Leave your name and number and mention the Huntstock giveaway. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. Warren and Friends' next gig is Wednesday, June 17th at the Bayfield Maritime Museum. I caught that show in Bayfield last year. It's really a great venue, and Warren's gigs are always a lot of fun. Try to get there if you're anywhere in the area. The show starts at 5:30 p.m., and for more on Warren and his music, visit warrennelson.com. I'm Dan Small. Get outside for a Free Fun Weekend in Wisconsin. And be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.